Welcome to the third preseason Supercoach Coach podcast. This week, we're back with one of our old regulars, Faz. Say hi, Faz.
Good to be here, guys. Looking forward to it.
And of course, FB Donkey is joining us as usual.
G'day, everyone. It is good to have Faz back on the show.
So we're going to do NAB Cup reviews, the first round, so all the lightning rounds. We haven't talked any of that yet, so that'll be on the agenda. But before we get into that, just wanted to give everybody a quick update on the website. So,
what's the go with that?
Yes, unfortunately, I have been played for a fool. Had some serious problems with developers. Won't get into it on the public space, but it's not been going well. And because of the little hiccup, I have been pushed back a bit. And but I'm hoping to get it all sorted next week. So I'm hoping this time next week it'll be up and going. And we already have some beta testers on there. Mark, you're one of them. So it is ticking along. I promise it'll be up soon. So stay tuned for that. And of course, you know, it'll be on our Facebook and Twitter updates. So stay tuned to our social media accounts for that. And yeah, I guess that's about all I can update you on for now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting it going, mate. The beta testing is going well. It's very fast and smooth, and it all seems to work really nicely. So I'm definitely pretty excited and ready to go. It's been a shame to have to go through this delay. But the footy's back, mate. We've had 2 weeks of Lightning Cup footy and lots of games to talk about and lots of players. So we're going to go through the clubs and players tonight.
All right, should we start, Mark? Let's do it by the games played. So the first Lightning Cup round was Essendon, Western Bulldogs, and Collingwood. We're going to do like maybe a player from each team, Mark. That'll be plenty to talk about.
Yeah, we'll do about a player from each team. And players that we have missed, we will get to in other shows when we'll analysis for backs, mids, forwards, and rucks before the season starts. So we get to do some real detailed X versus Ys. But I think we'll start with the Bombers. Faz, how did you find Brendan Goddard's first game for the Dons, or first two games?
Yeah, well, I'm making sure to keep a lid on things and not get too excited too early.
Take it off.
No, I won't go too overboard. He looked good, and he's playing through the midfield, so that's great for our Supercoach teams. He looked a little rusty, I have to admit. A couple of his first passes didn't quite hit their targets, but I don't think someone like Brendan Goddard would be taking NAB Cup round one too seriously. But yeah, as I said, playing through the midfield, which is great for his scores. He's had 13 possessions in the first game, 10 possessions in the second, and kicked a goal, which is great. And as we know, he's been a Supercoach star for so long. Last year averaged about 103 points, I think, and that was his lowest average since 2007. So he's starting at a pretty good price considering who we're getting into our team.
Yeah, I think what I saw in those first couple of games was this is the last season you'll be able to pick Brendan Goddard as a defender, because he looks like being a pure midfielder for the Bombers. He's going to roam off half-back and pick up some possessions that way, but I think he's going to play a lot more through the middle. Another player that played a bit in defence last year but looks like becoming more of a midfielder for the Bombers is Dyson Heppel. How did you find his start to the season, and what are your thoughts on him this year?
Yeah, he looks like a pretty attractive prospect. So it could be two Bombers in the back line, which I've always had a tough time picking any Essendon players throughout my entire team. So yeah, again, playing, as you said, playing through the midfield quite a bit. Had 9 possessions in the first game, 10 in the second, and also kicked a goal then. One thing I did notice just looking up his stats from Dyson's first 2 years in the league is that he's only actually scored above 100 points on 5 occasions so far. So still hasn't shown a whole bunch of high scoring, and it has only been his first 2 years, so you don't have to, you know, expect too much from the player. But yeah, he's still yet to sort of start pumping out the good scores. So hopefully this year will be it. In his third year, it's often a breakout year for players. So yeah, he's looking like a great prospect for people's teams.
The other player that a bit of a smoky maybe for draft teams out there would be David Myers, who had plenty of the ball in those first two games and is about 350,000 in defence. And if he could stay on the park, he could be a decent prospect as well. But I don't want to spend, now that Faz is back, it's great to have someone to talk Essendon with, but I don't want to spend the entire show talking about the Bombers. So we'll move on to the Magpies. And Brent McCaffer, what did you think of his game?
Didn't actually see the game between the Dogs and the Pies. I switched off for that one, but I had a look at the stats, and he had 5 disposals and a goal in that one, and 6 disposals in the game against Essendon. But to be honest, given how cheap McCaffrey is, the only thing where we should really be worried about is job security. He's only had one season so far in the AFL where he managed to stay in the park for too long, and that was back in 2010, the Pies premiership year. He played 17 games and averaged 82. So if he can come anything close to that, you know, he's a must-have at that price.
Yeah, he did seem to have someone fall on his leg at one point during the game, and that was right in front of us, and he walked to the boundary and looked to be struggling a little bit, but then came straight back on and performed quite well. So there was some talk of him maybe playing a bit of midfield time, but I think he'll mainly be kept as a forward, but lock him in at this stage for me. So the next player we want to talk about is Brett Goods from the Doggies. I've seen a fair bit of him in the VFL the last couple of years. Has been a bit of a stalwart down there, but finally gets his chance at AFL, and at the footy, he definitely looked like he was a bit chubby, but certainly fairly effective, few intercepted marks, and I think he could be a bit of a leader down in the Dogs' backline this year, so another player that I'd be locking in at this stage, although you'd want to see a little bit more through the NAB, and just to confirm that.
If he can, you know, nail down that the job security, then he's pretty much a must-have at the price he is. The Dogs are screaming out for some experience in that, you know, age bracket between. They've got a big group of senior players that are all around the 30 years. I think he's 29 himself, but, you know, they've got lots of young draftees, and then those are much more senior players. He could sort of fill that gap in between, perhaps.
Absolutely. I'd definitely be picking him in my team at the moment and keep an eye on him going forward. Now, Marcus, I know in the past, listeners to this show and myself included have basically had Selwood from the Cats every single year in their team. He has generally scored really well. I think last year he scored over 100 more than anyone else. And he looked in fine form against Freo and the Eagles. He racked up heaps of the pill and it still looks to be coming into his prime. But with Geelong, I know you probably disagree with this, but potentially fading at least a little bit, is he a valuable Supercoach pick?
Fading a little bit, Mark.
I was trying to put it lightly.
Don't like the sound of that. But I think the biggest problem with Joel Selwood being, you know, right up at the top of the scoring tree in Supercoach is just he's not really much of a goal-scoring midfielder, which most of the high-scoring guys are. But he did score a 9-point winner against West Coast. So
that was ridiculous that he was allowed to do that.
And also awesome, but beyond that, to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the pick based on his price. I look for value everywhere, so I'd rather the more solid guys. I think Dane Swan's probably a better pick. Pendlebury, we're talking about Cochin, or I'd rather step it down a little bit more and pick a player that I think has more room to improve. Not to say I don't think Selwood is a good selection or anything, but it's hard to be able to say this player is going to kick more goals this year playing in the midfield, especially, you know, Mark, you are speculating Geelong falling a little bit. I suspect most people would be saying the same thing. The other thing is his head, right? It's a battering ram, and we've seen that it's caused him to miss games and should continue to cause him to miss games. I suspect that he's going to miss a game through a head knock at some point in the season, so based on that, you might as well look for a bit more value or go with the, you know, the absolute top of the line picks like the Ablets, the Pendlebury's. I love Selwood, but I probably don't have him in that same category because he doesn't kick enough goals.
If that's a no from you, mate, then that's a pretty definitive statement in my book because you do have a lot of Selwood love.
Yeah, I do.
Do you want to make a quick comment on Varko from that game?
Yeah. Wasn't he good? Wasn't he good? I think should be a lock for most people now. Dual position, 230K. And
280K, isn't he? About 280, I think.
Okay. And as long as he stays injury-free, he'll provide good value for everyone. So at worst, he goes up a little bit and you have to trade him out. But he'll definitely rise in value. And hopefully, he becomes the next Gary Ablett. Mark, I think I brought that up when Ablett left. I was hopeful he'd step into that midfield void. I think we'll see him play forward and back, but probably not midfield this year.
I think you've had your Geelong time. We'll move on to Fremantle and Aaron Sandilands, who dominated the ruck, at least in that first game against Geelong. Who is the Jordan Druckmann this year?
I think Bill Carves had a pretty good crack at old Aaron Sanderlands.
I think I heard Trent West went down as well, so I'm not exactly sure who's going to be rucking for Geelong this year, but good luck finding that person. Sanderlands, he started off all right, had 10 hitouts in that game, didn't get a whole lot of the ball around the ground, but we just sort of didn't need him to. But then we hear on the Monday that he's gone down with an 8-week hamstring injury, ruling him out, which is quite disappointing. Did any of you guys have him in your team before that?
No, because he's way too injury prone and he misses and he straight away is out. So either pick a mid-pricer, in my opinion, in the rucks, or make sure that they're as durable as you can find them.
The other player I wanted to talk about from that game was Walters, who really stood out in the number 10. I think he kicked a couple goals in the first game and just was really flashy in the second game as well. So definitely noticed him floating around. Apparently his attitude has really improved, and they're saying that they got the player that they drafted originally.
He'd have to
just
be
over four.
You'd have to see Fremantle as a top four side to be able to pick him, though, right? Given that everybody's going to be getting on the Mondays, or at least be looking at Mundy, Barlow, Duffield, Pierce, like you'd have to see Walters, especially as a mid price pick. You'd have to see Fremantle as a top four team to be able to pick him.
Yeah, possibly. I think that he's actually going to score pretty well this year, and he definitely, like, watch Fremantle this week or whenever the next one TV. He definitely stands out with the way he moves around the ground, and you can really tell he's got an extra level of class about him.
Was he playing any midfield time, Mark? I didn't see the game myself, but
I think he was high half forward. Oh, okay, high half forward, but like sort of rotating up the ground as they all do, I guess, these days. The next player I want to talk about is a bit of an old stager now. I mean, I guess he hasn't really been around that long, but Prittis from the Eagles. He had 8 possessions and 5 possessions, so really got quite a lot of the ball, was kicking it a fair bit, kicked a nice goal in one of the games. Is he on your watch list with a lot of people predicting that the Eagles are going to do quite well this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure where the midfield points are going to go to, I guess. But I think considering most people are looking at West Coast being 1 or 2 this year, Prittis would have to be up there in the options. But he's fairly well priced. He did go down for a while last year, and his price was affected a little bit. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, I think he had had a game where he only scored about 15 points, so that would have affected his average and therefore his price. So he is a little bit underpriced, yeah.
But I guess the main thing with Prittis is we've never really seen him as an ultra-elite scorer. So unless you think that West Coast are going to do so well or Prittis is only going to lift his game to become an ultra-elite scorer, I think that the type of football that he plays probably doesn't lead to him matching the Pendlebury's and the Cochins, because he's always under the packs dishing it out rather than being an outside runner. I think you need a bit more of a balance to be able to hit those high scores.
Yeah, I think I kind of like Shuey or Selwood from the Eagles a little bit better. Prittis is definitely a much safer bet than those two, but I could see one of them averaging more than Prittis over the course of the year. But then, like, if Eagles do finish 1 or 2, it wouldn't surprise me to see Prittis average 120, and if he does, you've gotten full value for the price that you're going to end up paying for him.
How about Gaff, Mark? So, you reckon he might finally step through and break through? He's quietly,
I think he went
racking
the same
up
draft as Heppel, didn't he? So he's into his third year, and if he was available as a defender, you probably would pick him. Consistent, great disposal and great runner and all these things. And at some stage, he probably will break out. And it's one of the reasons why the West Coast side looks to have such potential when they've got a balance of Kerr and Prittis. And then you've got sort of Selwood and Shuey and Gaff, all these younger guys coming through. And just that the combination of age brackets seems like they're ripe to go.
You're about to jump ship there, Mark, off the drug-riddled train and onto West Coast, maybe? No?
Over the course of time.
Cheap shot there.
I think they've probably had their own drug issues over time with Benny Cousins and the like, so no, I think I'll stay with the Bombers. Thanks. If I was going to be jumping, probably jump to the Tigers and with my man Cochin. You know, love I have there. Next team I want to talk about is Port Adelaide, and another player that I'm developing a bit of love for, and that is Kane Mitchell. I think he's a lock for most midfielders. For most midfields in the Supercoach teams this year. I think that he was looking to get promoted because Nick Salter went down with an 8-week injury. So I'm not sure that we've heard confirmation for that, but I'm pretty sure they will be elevating Kane Mitchell. Has a killer hairdo and a killer look on the field, and he doesn't exactly have the greatest disposal or decision making, and he probably struggled a little bit with the pace of the game in those first two rounds. But gee, this boy can run and he can pick up the footy, so that's what I'm looking for in a mature age rookie at his price.
Yeah, and with a new coach, you'd think he's absolute locked to get a game.
You would think so. The other player from Port that I really liked was Ollie Wines, who is coming in at a bit more of a premium. I think he's 159, 169, about that, but has a pretty big body for a rookie and showed that he can get his hand on the footy. Had 8 touches in the first game, 7 of them were handballs, which wasn't great, but at least he's getting involved and should be getting a regular game, I think.
He's a premium priced rookie with, do you know how much he costs, Mark?
It's about 159, I think. I haven't got the prices in front of me.
Okay, yeah, so typically you'd have to be a pretty great player for us to be able to consider you, because that already wipes like 50-60k off your value. You think he's going to be a high enough scorer in the Port Adelaide Football Club to do that?
One of the main reasons I like him is just his body shape, and he seems like he's going to have the body that's going to hold up to the AFL a little bit better than some of the other rookies. There's a lot of good midfield rookies, but some are going to be managed more than him. And if he might, it's like 169 in his price, and he might not make quite as much money as others, but then he is less likely to be rested, I'd say, and more likely to have a big role in the Port side. So definitely keep an eye on him over the next few games, but I'd definitely give him a close eye, and he's sitting in my side at the moment.
Pittard, surely. Sorry, go ahead.
There's actually one thing I wanted to check with you guys about players like Ollie Wines, the sort of more premium-priced rookies. You were talking one of the previous podcasts about the change in rules, that we've now got more trades available. Do you think that means that the upgrade period might be pushed a bit earlier in the season, and there could be some value in having a player who's already at a bit of a higher price? So someone like Ollie Wines might be, you know, peaking at his price, you know, ideally somewhere around the 350k mark, he'd be getting there sort of one round earlier than those bottom priced rookies. Do you think that could possibly be a factor this year with the increased trades?
Yeah, because I guess we will be trying to maybe go a little bit earlier and maybe not waiting for our rookies to fully mature. So that might be something to think about. We've also got the fact that we need our rookies in the midfield to get as high as possible, because upgrading to a premium midfielder is actually quite a difficult process, and you're going to need like 600,000. So if you're going to want a player that can get up to those higher prices and reasonably quickly.
The main rule change that's probably, you know, in support of these premium price rookies is the fact that, you know, we need 8 midfielders now, and that means probably going to need more midfield rookies to start with. And there's heaps of quality midfield rookies, but if we do get to the point where rookies get injured or discounted for senior for a spot in the starting 22, then we generally see, in terms of team balance, we try and bring in one of these more expensive premium-priced rookies that have higher job security because they're a high draft pick, in just to get a balance to make sure that, you know, you still have 8 players, or this now 8 midfielders on the park for you each and every week. So that might come into consideration. How about that? Right. Jasper Pittard, guys, at Port Adelaide, also rookie price at 133K.
I think Alan Richardson, their senior assistant coach now, has said that he sees Pittard being a really significant part of their season this year. They came out in the paper today saying that they've got a big focus on quality of ball use, and Pittard, that's one thing he's known for, bring that ball off half back. And so I think that he will be a bit of a focus for them, and they will use him coming out of half back. So I think he's got reasonable job security and should score reasonably well, and he's pretty well priced. So he's definitely been in all of my draft teams. Next player I want to look at is Tom Lee from the Saints, who, gee, there was a lot talked up about this guy preseason, and the Saints gave up a fair bit to get him. But in the first game, he had 1 handball, scored -4 in Dream Team. We don't have the Supercoach scores yet. But then in the second game, did a lot better, kicked a goal, had 4 kicks, 2 marks and a tackle. Showed that maybe he could do all right. I think if Riewoldt was back in the team, he will play better because he won't cop the best defender all the time. So definitely one to keep an eye on over the NAB Cup. I certainly don't have him locked in, and there's been a few mixed reports coming out about him, but definitely a player that you should be watching over the next couple of weeks and seeing how he's scoring and how much ball he's getting and what the reports are. Okay, so the Crows is the next club we want to look at, who also played in that tri-series, and we got to our first look at Crouch, who had been sitting on the Crows list all of last year, unable to play. What did you think of his start to the season, or do you have any thoughts on whether he is a lock or not?
Well, I didn't see the game personally. Unfortunately, my lack of Foxtel subscriptions holding me back a fair bit in this discussion, but just the fact that Adelaide were willing to give up so much for him sort of speaks volumes to me. I can't remember exactly what it was that they traded, but I think they might have given up a first-round draft pick just to ensure that they got this guy on their list. So I guess you can just treat him as any other first-round draft pick, but the advantage with Crouch is that he comes in at the sort of regular rookie price of, you know, about 110 or something around that. So as long as he's getting games, I'll probably have to watch over the rest of the NAB to see whether he can slot in, given that Adelaide were a very competitive side last year. That's probably his hardest point will be breaking into the team.
I wonder whether he'll be able to get a spot anywhere else, because I'm not sure that he'll be able to fit into the midfield, especially if Adelaide want to go far in the final series. So if he does play, you'd think that he needs to sort of find a niche somewhere else in the team. So maybe a small forward or something like that. So we'll have to see where he sort of played positionally. But I'm going to assume that if we keep seeing him in the midfield only, that he'll struggle to get game time. But either way, like Faz said, he's at a great price. The only issue is this year we're going to be wanting to upgrade as quickly as you can, and because of that, you can't afford to have anyone stalling in your team, and that's the only thing to look out for.
He's a bit of a sub candidate as well. You would think that he would probably make a reasonable sub for the Crows, so there could be a bit of issues with stalling for him. But then he has such talent, picked up 7 possessions in each game. I don't know whether you're going to be able to find a better option necessarily. The other player I wanted to talk about from the Crows is Matthew Wright, who certainly played a bit of extra midfield time in those two games and had 9 touches in both games. So that's quite a decent performance from him. He's available for about 470 in your forward line, maybe tossing up between him and Martin. He was a ball magnet when he was a junior, really high scoring, and I think this might be his third season as well. So definitely a breakout candidate, and if the Crows do well and they do have a decent draw, then he could be someone that stands out and works out quite well for you. Just want to mention someone that did really, really well in these games, and that's Richard Tambling, available for about 215 as a defender. He's just had such a horrific career really so far that it's hard to feel any confidence in picking him, but he did get a lot of the ball, so I'd maybe just keep an eye on him as well. The next player, next team we want to look at is the Hawks. They played on Friday night against the Suns and Gold Coast. And does anyone know what happened to them?
Lost both games, didn't they? Yeah, you'd have to think they weren't trying too hard given, you know, the caliber of their team and who they lost to. Did you watch the games, Mark?
I did, mate. The Rioli mistake, like the scores were level and the ball was going through the behinds. And Rioli, like the Hawthorn behinds, and Rioli jumped up and tapped the ball back into play, hoping that they could kick goal. And it got taken up the other end, and Gold Coast scored a point and won the game. It was just an absolutely unbelievable situation. And the player I actually wanted to talk about from today, from that game, was Rioli. He'd actually been in my draft teams. I was a bit reluctant to pick a Hawk because they have such a difficult start to the year, playing all the finalists from last year in the first 7 rounds. But then he's gone and sprained his ankle, and he was seen in a moon boot for the next few days after the game. So they said that he'll probably be right for round 1, but missing the NAB Cup, a bit of a delay in his preseason. He's the sort of guy that you want to do that you need to be doing every single session during the preseason, because he does have a bit of an injury history. So that kind of means that I'm now looking for a Rioli replacement for my team. Next player I want to talk about is from Brisbane, and that is Brent Maloney. Did you see how much of the ball that he got in those games?
Yeah, I talked him up a bit in previous podcasts, Mark. I think it's looking pretty good.
You're claiming Maloney now.
No, but he's in my draft team, and so I did like the look of him in his first game there, and looks like he'll work pretty nicely with Simon Black up there.
And it's quite a midfield they're putting together now. You wouldn't have thought a couple of years ago with all that dodgy trading that that Voss got himself mixed up in, but you know, with a midfield of Maloney, Rockcliffe, Rich, Redden, you know, Zorko, and Black, of course, it's looking pretty commanding, really.
Josh Green too. He's a high draft pick, isn't he?
True.
Yeah, pacey, skillful young guy. They've got some players like Hanley that can rotate through from the back line, and Adcock if he needed to, and then forwards that can do some stints like Banfield and Zorko, as you mentioned. So, yeah, they do have a bit of depth there, and a lot of people are saying that they might be an improver this year.
Maloney's price is pretty decent, isn't it? It was a bit cheaper than the other two mid prices you guys mentioned in the last show.
About 365, I think, Maloney in the midfield. So it's sort of, it's a little bit of a difficult price bracket, but if he could rack up the ball like he did the other night, and be aware that he's not a super coach by nature. He does win contested ball, but his possession isn't fantastic. He did kick the ball out on the full a couple of times and missed targets by a fair way, but just at his price, the way that he can rack up the ball, he could average a decent amount over a short period of time. The next player I want to talk about is Jesse Lonigan from the Suns. He had 8 possessions against the Lions. He's a bit of a bigger-bodied rookie and taken in last year's draft, and they say that he's probably, of all the rookies, he's one that will be able to stand up to the AFL conditions. So pretty impressed by Lonigan. I think he's about 135,000 and definitely someone to keep an eye on from the Suns. He's probably not likely to play every game, but he could score pretty well and showed that he was quite comfortable at AFL level. Moving on to the Saturday games from the weekend. First game was Richmond, Melbourne and North Melbourne. One player I wanted to talk about was Chris Newman, who had a move to the midfield and got plenty of it. Definitely see value in him as an underpriced premium with a premium scoring history. He's averaged 98 in the past. I don't see why in an improving Richmond that he couldn't do that again. Last year he seemed he had a real defensive focus in his game, and this year I think there's a little bit more depth in the Richmond back line and he might be freed up a little bit further up the ground. He's a super kick of the football, so he definitely caught my eye on the weekend with a bit of a role change, and he is a premium of the past. So I know a lot of people would have been burnt by him in the last 2 years, but he has the potential to average quite well.
I saw him interviewed on AFL 360 the other night, and he was saying he's enjoying his footy quite a bit more. Just now that he's no longer the captain, he's been able to focus more on his game, and hopefully that'll result in him, if he's having more fun, hopefully, you know, that means more points.
How about their first round draft pick, Mark? How did you like?
I want you to say his name, mate.
Vlastwin.
I've heard the commentators on like radio and TV call him different things. I'm thinking it might be Vlosten. Nick Vlosten is 159,000 in the back line. I think he had maybe 9 touches in one game and 7 in the other. So he was definitely impressive, and he could take a bit of the Newman role from last year, a bit of the a rebounder off half back for Richmond. You saw last year that they gave Alice plenty of opportunity to play. I think he played every week except maybe one around the byes, and Morris was given plenty of chances last year, so that wouldn't surprise me if Vlosten was given the chance to play plenty of games this year. He was a high draft pick and apparently has been training really well and has the body for the AFL, so again, another one of those expensive rookies, but maybe someone that you'd be looking to take a risk on.
I mean, as good as Morris performed for us in Supercoach terms and for Richmond as well last year, you'd think that if the Richmond was pushing for a premiership, that he's the sort of player that could be, you know, one of those fringe players in the premiership push, and they're sort of stop measure players for when your team needs to build a winning culture, but you're still, you know, building your talent. So I think, like you said, Mark, he should get plenty of opportunity, as we saw Ellis get last year. And if he plays, he'll be fighting for a spot, you'd think, with the likes of the small defenders. Like, there was competition for last year as well. I think it's a good spot on the ground for them to bleed the players into the team.
Moving on to Melbourne, there's plenty to talk about from Melbourne. First player was Jesse Hogan. We can't pick him this year. He's only 17, but if I could pick him, I want to put him in my team right now. He was basically Melbourne's best player on the night, and he's only 17. So apparently he's 100 kilos, could handle the AFL. So lock him in your side for 2014. It'll be interesting to see what he's priced, because he's sort of in the same situation as O'Meara and Crouch, where he's picked that year early and has to sit out of the system for a year. Another player is Jimmy Tumpas, who in the second game kicked a goal, had 8 possessions, and looked absolutely fantastic. They announced before the game that they'd signed him up for, I think, an extra couple of years on top of his contract. Before he'd even played a game in the NAB Cup, he looked seriously skillful and like he will be a real player if he can stay fit. He's 184,000, so whether there's value there, maybe tossing up between him and Ollie Wines for that midfield rookie spot. You had Dean Turlick, who lockdown small defender but mature ager, probably not going to get heaps of the ball, but could provide a bit of value and could get regular games for Melbourne. Yeah, Jack Viney finally get games. I think, if I recall, he played on Swallow and Cochin. So not a bad welcome to the AFL. Just tag two of the better midfielders going around. One player that I was quite impressed by that is a very interesting selection for this year is Jack Watts at 460,000. He's available as a defender or a forward. He kicked a goal in each of the game. He was very much playing defense, though, and rebounding off that half-back line. Do you think this might be the year of Jack Watts?
Yeah, we've seen that Watts has actually been able to score decently from the defense last year. The only issue is when you move to the defense permanently and you're used to rebound against the rebound out of defense, you're generally left unchecked for a little while, but if you start proving yourself dangerous, somebody's going to end up locking you down, and that's the only worry, because he is pretty highly priced for a mid-pricer. Generally, you'd hope that the player would be a fair amount cheaper, considering the type of improvement that we expect from him. I think it's probably too risky a pick, although it's good to see Watts finally doing well, or at least looking more comfortable on the field. He's been copping a lot of flack over the last few years.
Moving on to North Melbourne. From North, I just wanted to talk about their ruckman, Goldstein, Curry, and Dorr. Did you see Dorr's magical goal where he did the fender?
Yeah, and then the next day he gets criticised for not handballing it to Brad McKenzie. So, I think it, from the sounds of it, you know, they're still not happy, 100% happy with where he is developmental-wise, I think in game sense and that sort of thing. So because of that, I just don't see him getting, you know, too much games either. But he is a ruckman rookie, so he doesn't need too many games. He just needs to be sort of in the background as a decent R4. I'd assume if we're picking him, that's where he'll be sitting. So keep an eye on him. But did he hurt himself or anything during the game?
Yeah, I think knee swelling was how it's come out, and that they're talking that he'll probably miss North's second NAB Cup game, but should be right by the third game. I think that will try and get him some experience over the NAB Cup, because they don't really see him being a huge part over the course of the season. It's really interesting to see what North are going to do with their rucks, because they didn't play Curry and Goldstein in the same game. So you're unsure whether they can fit together and whether they can play together. So that'll be really interesting to see. Goldstein in the first game had 5 hitouts and 0 possessions. This was the knock on him, that he doesn't get enough ball around the ground, and he just went way crazy with that. So I know really early in the preseason he was locked into a lot of teams, but after what we saw on the weekend, I think they would have ditched him really quickly, and maybe with good reason. He showed potential in the past that he could average over 110, but not based on what we saw the other night. And purely based on what we saw the other night, Curry was a better ruckman and is some chance at least to take his spot in the side. So Curry definitely looks a decent pick for your ruck bench at this stage. I'd have him ahead of Dorr personally.
Yeah, I think considering the ruck situation this year, that I probably wouldn't pick Goldstein unless I saw him averaging 110 plus, because I'd prefer some of the mid-price options or some of the absolute ultra premiums. So I think Goldstein's in a rather tough spot with his performance on the weekend. Yeah. All right, on to the next last round of games, GWS, Sydney and Carlton. Did you like Dean Towers from Sydney? I know a lot of people are looking at him.
Yeah, a mature ager, and we're really struggling to find some forward rookies. So he could definitely be one. He showed a little bit in the game, kicked a late goal, so definitely could be one that rates are mentioned. Do you think Do you see any of that, Baz?
He's a 22-year-old mature age recruit from North Ballarat Roosters, and last year was awarded the best player in the VFL under 23 years of age and also made the VFL team of the year. So he's been impressing at state level. Also, I noticed that Sydney picked him up at pick 22 in the national draft, which is, again, encouraging signs that he's already on their senior list. And, you know, they felt that, you know, they had to pick him that highly. I guess they were worried that other teams are going to come in. So sort of says something about his quality. The one other thing I read is that he's tested very well in the draft combine with a high vertical leap, which broke Crowe's old record, I think, and also the sprints he tested very well in that. Obviously, the issue trying to get into the premiership team will be the hardest part for Dean Towers. I know there'll be a lot of competition for spots in the Sydney team, so I'm just not sold yet that he'll be able to break in.
Yeah, he might get a bit more of a shot with Tippett not playing for the first half of the season, but like you say, it's going to be tough for anyone to break into the team that won last year's grand final. And I think Sydney didn't have many injuries last year, so hardly anyone other than the best 22 got a game for a long period. The next player I want to talk about is Jonathan Patton, and he's at 242,000 going into this year, so that's a really difficult price for a second-year key position player. Probably not Supercoach relevant this year, but wow, is he impressive. Two of the goals that he kicked were just, like, you can see why this guy went number one. He's so huge, but he was able to balk around players and snap a goal from the boundary and just kick right through the ball. You can see that he's going to be an absolute star of the competition one day, and that's... You didn't really see that from him last year. He was just sort of finding his feet a bit last year. But, yeah, he really impressive in NAB 1. So hopefully we get to see a bit more of that throughout the year because he is an excitement machine and a really, really impressive player. So last player that we're going to talk about is Sam Rowe from Carlton, who missed a lot of last season suffering from cancer. And it's a huge story to get him back playing AFL. 25-year-old, available as a ruckman or a forward for $115,000. Malthouse said on SEN this morning that he's the one player for Supercoach that you should have in mind because he does provide a bit of value. Pretty sure Malthouse has never played Supercoach, but still a valuable insight into where Sam Rowe fits and was able to kick a goal with one of his first kicks and actually played pretty well in both the games. So given the fact that you're probably going to want a rookie ruck forward and your options are Sinclair, Rowe and McBean, Rowe definitely looks the most likely to actually earn you some dollars in the process. All right, well, that sums up the first round of the NAB. And that was only doing one player from each club. That's just how much there is to talk about with Supercoach at the moment. Yeah, we'll get to see some more footy this weekend, and I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for the show, guys. Faz, it was good to have you back.
Yeah, great to be here. And for all the listeners out there, if there's a player in particular that you think we missed, just let us know in the comments, and we'll be sure to touch on them next time.